Welcome all of you today. It's wonderful to see all of you, and it's too bad some of you didn't get here a few minutes early. We had a nice little sing-along, and it would have been great to have had more people singing, but we managed. I have just a couple of announcements. Tomorrow night is our candlelight service, which begins at 6:30. Bring yourself, your family, and your friends. And there will be a love offering taken. We'll have a basket on the table in the back if you wish to contribute. It would be going to UMCOR for the California fire victims. Please take an offering envelope off the back table also. I have a letter here to read from the Renew, which is the Therapeutic Horse Riding Center in Holland. Thank you so much for your generous donation to Renew. Your gift will be directly applied to program expenses to benefit students. We are so grateful for your partnership in this mission, and 218 has been a phenomenal year of growth for Renew. And it is because of people like you. Best wishes to you in 2019, Melissa. So this is a group that helps students that need special help, and riding horses is a wonderful way to do it. Do we have any joys or concerns? Barb? Talk, can you speak up a little bit? Okay. Oh, for Trudy. Sherry? But Boosie is doing okay. Great. Great. Barb?
Our neighbor, Alvin Gates, he's a kidney transplant, and he's on dialysis 3 times a week, plus his wife had knee surgery. So, thank you, our prayers.
Well, let's ring the bell now, Mr. Heiser. Also, let's don't forget our prayer list. This is a wonderful service that Joanne does for us. And you can keep it handy someplace by your chair or something so you remember to pray for these people. Thank you. Bible, will you please stand for the call to worship? The Mighty One has done great things. Holy in God's name, the light of the world is coming.
With Mary, our spirits rejoice in God, our Savior.
God's mercy
endures from generation to generation for those who are in awe of God.
The proud, the rich, the mighty no longer have
power over us. The lowly are lifted up, and the hungry are satisfied.
We see the light of God shining over the land.
We light a fourth candle in anticipation of the wondrous birth. Let us continue with the opening prayer. Almighty God, you come to us when we are seeking other things, and you call us to return to you. Speak to us once more through the Babe of Bethlehem, that we may see once more again the errors of our ways. Overpower us with your love, that we may be able to reflect that light that came into the world at Christmas so long ago. Amen. Our hymn of praise is, O Come All You Faithful, on 234, and we're going to sing the first four verses.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come.
be seated. And Rachel's home. It's so good to see you. And you're so tall.
Good morning. It's good to see you, and it's good to be seen. I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas a little bit early. It's a couple days, and I know some of you will be here for Christmas Eve. Some have other obligations, but I want to extend my best wishes for your Christmas. One of the things that's been going on at my house, we have this little, we call it the little house, separate from our main house, and I use it for a office area, and we've done some rearranging, and we're having company, and they're staying there, so I've been cleaning it. So I've had the radio on. I've had it on one station that plays Christmas music all the time, just nothing but Christmas music. And I've made a couple observations about Christmas music. That is, there isn't as much Christmas music, at least not on this station, as you would expect. There's a lot of repetition. There are a lot of songs that are sung again and again, but by different artists. And though it's kind of background music for me, I hear it. And I discovered this morning when I had the TV on before coming to church and the news was on and they had a choir, they were singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. When I was a kid, I used to sing that song, but I hadn't sung it in years, and I found myself singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and I thought, wow, I've regressed a lot. But it's been enjoyable to hear those songs. The other thing that I've discovered is that for me, at least, that there was a combination of newer songs and older songs, mostly older songs, sometimes older songs sung by contemporary artists. But it seemed like those old songs seemed to put me in the Christmas spirit the most. And of course, some of the songs I heard on the radio were the very songs that we were singing here this morning before church and that we will sing in our worship service. So music's a really important part of our celebration, and I'm thankful for it. I'd like to invite you to a few moments of silent prayer. Concerns spoken, remember those on our prayer list. Concerns you have in your heart. Let's also remember the people in Indonesia where there was the tsunami and volcano eruption, and pray for that situation as well. Let's be in an attitude of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the light of the world has come. The deepest expression of your love has come. We're thankful for this season of the year that we call Christmas, celebrates Jesus coming into the world and coming into our lives. We are grateful that you love us so much that you sent your Son into the world to live, to teach, to be an example, to die and be raised with power for us. We're thankful that he came not just for us, but for all the world. And it is our prayer that we could be light and expression of your love as well to our world. We thank you for your gifts. We thank you for your grace, for your great love, and your great mercy. We thank you for family and friends. We thank you for this church family. We thank you for memories of Christmas past. We thank you for the hope of Christmas to come. We thank you for the joy of Christmas today. And help us to truly celebrate and honor the coming of Christ into our world, into our lives. We confess to you that we are unworthy of the gifts that we have received from you. We ask for forgiveness. We pray for your Spirit to bless us in such a way that we might live in a way that honors you and your word. We offer prayers for hurting people, and we see many people in our world who hurt. Some are in faraway places, some are much closer to home, some are even in our family, our neighbors, in our church family. We offer our prayers, and we pray for your mercy, for your healing, for your grace, and for the joy of this season that comes from Christ to bless their lives. We offer prayers for our nation, for our leaders. We pray for them wisdom and understanding that goes beyond human ability. We pray that your Spirit would work among leaders in our country. May they be used by you for your purpose in your way in our nation and our world. We offer prayers for our church, and we pray for that larger church that includes many different individual churches and denominations. We offer special prayers for our United Methodist Church, that your way and your will would be done among us, and that you would grant those making decisions discernment and a spirit of understanding and a will to work together for your purpose. We offer prayers for this church. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you that you continue to use us. We pray for your blessing on this time together in worship. May we each sense your presence. May we each hear that word that you have for us this day. And may we be blessed by you in such a way that we could bless others. Hear us now, we ask, as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is Luke 2, 1-20, found on page 53 of your pew Bible. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
In just a moment, we will offer a prayer for the sick. If you want to follow along, it's on page 457 in the hymnal. At the appropriate place, I will pause. That will be your opportunity to speak aloud or to yourself the names of people that we would pray for together in this time of prayer. So let's be in an attitude of prayer together. God of compassion, source of life and health, strengthen and relieve your servants. And give your power of healing to those who minister to their needs. For those, that those for whom our prayers are offered may find help in weakness, have confidence in your loving care, through him who healed the sick and is the physician of our souls, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This time we will receive our offering. God, it's our prayer that you would accept the gifts that we offer to you this morning. Bless them, we pray, and bless us as well, and use these gifts and us to your service and to your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Did you notice how it became lighter right at the end when Alice was playing, like the sun came out? I think it was the touch of the Lord. Now we're going to sing Good Christian Friends Rejoice on 224.
This morning is Isaiah chapter 61. It's on 655 and 656 in your pew Bible, the Old Testament portion. Isaiah 61, hear this reading from God's Word. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Aliens shall stand and feed your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. Men shall speak of you as the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you shall glory. Instead of your shame, you shall have a double portion. Instead of dishonor for you, you shall rejoice in your lot. Therefore, in your land you shall possess a double portion. Yours shall be everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, and they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Heavenly Father, in these moments we pray that you might speak anew through your word and through your messenger. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight through Christ our Lord. Amen. I think the words joy and light are two words that describe the Christmas season. And the scripture that I just read focuses on those two ideas, but in different ways. This morning I want to talk to you about joy and light. Isaiah 61 is sprinkled with the idea of joy. We learn that God's anointed, that is, our Lord Jesus Christ, will bring good tidings. He'll bind up brokenhearted people, comfort those who mourn, give the oil of gladness rather than that of mourning, give the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit, and God's people will rejoice and have everlasting joy. And in verse 10 of Isaiah 61, we find the words of Mary, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul will exalt in my God. Christmas is about joy. It's about expected joy. Christmas is that way. I remember it's been, I don't know how many years ago, it was around Christmas time that we learned that our oldest son, Darren's wife, Beth, was pregnant. It was their first child. It was our first grandchild. And Lindy now, is she 14, 15? See what I mean? Time flies. She'll be 16. I know she was taking driver's training, and that was causing some anxiety in the family. But looking back at that, I remember expectant joy, especially on the part of Darren and Beth, and we had the announcement of a coming baby. Babies almost always cause expectant joy. Well, Darren had a unique way of announcing the coming of Lindy. So they had done the home pregnancy test, and so without having any confirmation other than that, he called Mary, and when she answered the phone, he said, "Hello, Grandma." And then he called me at work, and he said, "Hello, Grandpa." Then he called his brothers, and he said, Hello, Uncle Keith. Hello, Uncle Steve. And he called Emily, and he said, hello, Aunt Emily. And the reason he did that, of course, was he wanted people to know that they were about to have a baby. It was expectant joy. And he wanted people to know that he was going to be a dad. I really don't know how long he was on the phone that day. Mary and Joseph had news, the kind of news that all parents experience. But the joy that Isaiah speaks of is even greater joy, a joy that transforms life and gives new meaning and purpose to everything. I think it's possible sometimes to forget this joy, or at least act like we've forgotten it. There's a story about a man from Louisville, Kentucky, who had traveled to St. Louis on a business trip. This was years ago when it was the habit of just about everyone to make Sunday a special day. And for this man, his keeping of the Sabbath meant that he would not be traveling on Sunday. And so after he had finished his business late Saturday, he stayed over in St. Louis until Monday. And on Sunday morning, he left his hotel, and he was looking for a place to go to church. And the streets were quiet. And he finally saw a policeman and asked him for directions to the nearest Protestant church. The stranger thanked the policeman for the information and was about to walk away when he turned and he asked the policeman, "Why did you recommend this particular church? There has to be several churches nearby that you could have recommended. The policeman smiled and said, "I'm not a churchman myself, but the people who come out of that church are the happiest looking church people in St. Louis. And I thought that would be the kind of church that you would like to attend." I've always marveled at that story, and sometimes I wanted to stand outside of church and see the people going out of church and see what kind of look they had in their face. Christmas and Christ give us great joy. What is it that the angel said of the Lord to the shepherds? "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Joy and light. Light. Christmas is a season of light. I know things are different now than they used to be, and that's okay. But I remember as a boy, at least one weekend evening during the Christmas season, our family would go for a car ride just around to see all the Christmas lights. And everybody had Christmas lights, and it was amazing. Even a few years ago, well, it's probably been longer than a few years ago, we were out in Iowa, and Mary's folks said, "There's some Christmas lights you just have to see." So we went for what I thought was a long drive out in rural Iowa through the country, and we came to this one farm that was like day. There were so many Christmas lights, and it was so pretty. Somehow, in our world, Christmas is associated with light, or light is associated with Christmas. I read this story, and some of you might be able to relate to it. It's about a woman who was remembering her grandmother. It was around the time that her grandfather had died. He was 90 years of age. Her grandparents had been married 50 years, and her grandma felt the loss. Their life together had been the focus of her life, and after he died, she sort of retreated from the world, and she went into a period of extended mourning. And that mourning, that grief, lasted nearly 5 years, and it was during this time that the granddaughter visited her grandmother once every week or two. And I've had this experience with a couple of my relatives, my aunt and my dad. They were in their late 80s, and would go to visit them, and there was just a roughness, I want to call it grouchy. Not everybody's affected that way, but some people are. And this is the way, evidently, her grandmother was. But on this one particular day when she came in, she found her grandma sitting in a wheelchair, and she was just beaming. And she didn't make a comment quickly enough about the change in her grandma's demeanor. And so the grandma said to her, "Don't you know why I'm so happy? Aren't you even curious?" And so she went on to say, this is grandma now, "Last night I got an answer. I finally know why God took my husband and left me behind to live without him. Your grandfather knew that the secret of life is love, and he lived it every day. He had become unconditional love in action. I've known about unconditional love, but I haven't fully lived it. That's why he got to go first, and I had to stay behind. And all this time, I thought I was being punished for something, but last night I found out that I was left behind as a gift from God. He let me stay so that I too could turn my life into love. You see, you can't learn the lesson after you die. Love has to be lived here on earth. Once you leave, it's too late. So I was given the gift of life so I can learn to live love here and now." And it was later on another visit that her grandma told her something that had happened that day. She said, "This morning your uncle was upset and angry with me over something I had done. I didn't flinch. I received his anger, wrapped it in love, returned it with joy." Her eyes twinkled as she added, "It's even kind of fun." And his anger dissolved. Her life was changed by love. And the granddaughter tells that later, when her grandmother was very sick in the hospital and about to die, as she came into the hospital and to her grandmother's room, a nurse came out, and the nurse said, "Your grandmother is a very special lady. You know, she's a light. Yes, love and joy lit up this lady's face, and she became a light to others." You know what the Gospel of John says about our Lord? He was light. It says that he was the light of the world. And when in John's Gospel, when our Lord received news of John the Baptist's death, he made this comment to his disciples: "This man was a light, consuming and revealing. but you wish to rejoice exceedingly for a while in his presence. Christmas is a time for joy. It's a time for light. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. He was the advance man. As fellow Christians, we are to be advanced men and women for Jesus. I was talking earlier about the songs of Christmas. A few years ago, it's 10 or more years ago, there was a piece going around on the internet that proved really not to be true. It had to do with the 12 Days of Christmas. Can any of you sing that song, The 12 Days of Christmas? I can't. I can't get past the second verse, I don't think. There's too many things to remember. But the story or the legend was that these gifts or this song had its beginnings in the church in England, the Catholic Church, as a way to communicate Christian truth with because the Catholic Church at that time, the Roman Catholic Church, was persecuted. Well, people have done research on that story and discovered that it's not really how the song came into being. Nobody knows how that song, The 12 Days of Christmas, really came into being. It's an old song, and it actually has some parts of it connected to a French carol or song. But I found it interesting just the same. There's an article in Christianity Today that kind of dispelled the idea that it had that Christian beginning. It's really a nonsense song. And I was told, or I read, that in olden times when this song was sung, people would sing it, and if they couldn't remember the parts, then they had to give a favor to the other person, and the favor was a kiss. I don't know if that's true or not either, but I think the fun thing about the song for us is that there are meanings that are Christian that can be put to the song. Now, so many times, Christmas songs, Christian songs, are taken by the secular world and changed to communicate something else. So I think it's kind of fun to take a secular song and put Christian meaning to it. So here's a possible way of interpreting the 12 days of Christmas. And I'm not going to sing the song for you. Yeah. Maybe when we get to heaven I can sing for you, but not here. You'll be more gracious in heaven than you will be here if I sang. The true love represents God and me, or God and you. The partridge in a pear tree is Jesus, who died on a tree or a cross, a gift from God to the whole world. Two turtle doves, the Old and New Testaments. Three French hens, faith, hope, and love, three gifts of the Holy Spirit. Four calling birds, the four Gospels. The five golden rings, first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. Six geese a-laying, 6 days of creation. Seven swans a-swimming, seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Eight maids a-milking, eight beatitudes. Nine ladies dancing, the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit is found in Galatians. The 10 Lords a-leaping, the 10 Commandments, the 11 Pipers piping are the 11 faithful disciples, and the 12 Drummers drumming, the 12 points of the Apostles' Creed. So, if you want, the 12 days of Christmas, the song, is light, though it's hidden. And we are called, of course, to bear witness to the light. John was the advance man. He was the person that went out ahead of Jesus as Jesus was about to begin his ministry. There's a story about a politician who was running in a very, very close election. And he was a good politician. He had a firm grasp on the issues. He had a lot of good ideas. His biggest problem was he had no name recognition. The voters didn't know who he was or what he stood for. And to make up for this handicap, to get out and meet the voters, he needed to advertise, or he needed the word to get out. He had to shake hands, and as politicians do, kiss babies. And so to handle this important part of his public relations, he had a good friend, and he wanted his good friend to do the work. The problem was his friend wasn't very good at this, and oftentimes the advertisements were muddled and wrong. Once during a whistle stop tour, no one showed up, not even the mayor of the town, because they didn't know he was coming. And so this advanced man failed to tell everyone that the candidate was coming. He didn't do his work very well. And no one understood why he kept this guy around. In the last days of the campaign, it fell apart, and he lost the election only by a very, very slim margin. If his advanced man had just been a little more competent, he would have won. Christmas. Light and joy. You and I are to be light and joy. And we are the advanced men and women for Jesus. We are, through our living and through our words, to point people to Jesus. I wonder sometimes about myself, how good a job I'm doing. Let's, as we enter a new year, make a commitment to be light and joy for the world. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus has come into the world, but even more, we thank you that he has come into our hearts and lives. And as we experience light and joy in our lives, may we share that same light and joy with others. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our last hymn, Stand If Able, to sing Joy to the World, 246.
light and the love of Christmas, and may it change your life now and always.